And we will read this a little bit later, but Luke chapter 1. I entitled my message this morning, A Merry, M-A-R-Y, A Merry Christmas. Now, we do not know what Mary may have taught Jesus in his childhood. Nothing recorded about that. But there are three things that she can teach us. And this sermon this morning, this message this morning, examines three truths about God and his dealings with us. How he dealt with Mary from Luke chapter 1. So I think we all know that mothers can teach us a lot if we'll listen to them. And I read recently a posted title, 11 Things Our Moms Taught Us. Some which are the following wise truths. Some of these are the wise truths from mom. First, it's not the end of the world. You may remember some of these. Maybe your mother said these to you. If you can't say something nice, you shouldn't say anything at all. Time heals all wounds. That may be true or not be true, but you should always leave everything better than you found it. Don't take things for granted. Don't overdo your makeup. And watching too much television will damage your eyes. When I was a kid, I used to get styes a lot. And my mother used to always say, it's because you're watching too much television. I believe that. But I'm sure we'll all have our own list, and you can think of some. But there's no doubt about it. One of the reasons God has moms on this earth is to teach us their kids, and we're still mom's kids, lessons for life. So here's a question you might have never considered. What did Jesus' mother teach him? And again, we don't really know the answer to that question. We know that Jesus grew up as any other child, for the Bible tells us that he grew in stature and wisdom just like any other child. The Bible doesn't tell us what Mary may have taught Jesus, but what I want us to see is, again, what Mary teaches us. So three lessons we're going to learn, hopefully today, from verses 26 through 38 of our passage. The first thought, then, is this. Mary teaches us, and we'll see this in verses 26 and 27, that no matter who you are, God can use you. Mary teaches us that no matter who you are, God can use you. And it says in verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Do you remember the last time you filled out a job application? Some of you are going to have to go way back. And you had to give all that personal data, and you had to summarize your background and your education and your experience and so forth. And one question they often ask is, what is it that makes you uniquely qualified for this position? Now, how do you answer that question without coming off as kind of snobbish, you know? But employers assume your availability. If you're going to be on the job and they're going to hire you, that you're going to be available. But what they really want to find out is, first, your liabilities, what would make you unsuited for the job, and secondly, your abilities, what skills and talents will help you do the job. We're living in different times, there's no question about that, when it seems like everywhere you go, there's help wanted signs out there, and people can't find people to work, but generally speaking, this is how it works. But God doesn't operate this way. Mary teaches us that God isn't as interested in your ability as he is your availability. Kind of the opposite. And no matter who you are, God can use you. Let me say that again. No matter who you are, God can use you. And verses 26 and 27 paint a picture of an ordinary girl with some serious liabilities. First of all, she was young. She was very young. Remember that in that day it was not unusual for girls to be betrothed as young as 15 years of age, around the time of reaching puberty. And Mary could well have been as young as 15 or 16 when Gabriel visited her. And you and I might think that this girl is too young for God to use her. But apparently God didn't think so. And I always tell young people, God wants to use you. It doesn't matter how old you are, God wants to use you. But also, Mary was poor. I mean, she was very poor. And we read in Luke 2, and we won't take time to look at that, verses 22 through 24, that Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the temple to be circumcised. And to do so, they were required to bring one of two offerings, either a lamb for a burnt offering, or if the parents were too poor to bring a lamb, they could instead bring two doves or pigeons for a sin offering. And Mary and Joseph brought two doves, indicating they couldn't afford a lamb. And you and I might have thought this family too poor to provide for Jesus, the King of Heaven. But apparently God didn't think so. So Mary was young and poor, but she was also from Nazareth. And Nazareth was a town with a bad reputation. Still kind of has some difficulties even today. I've been there many times. In John 1:46, when Nathanael learned that Jesus was from Nazareth, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So Mary had some negatives, but she had two things that God was looking for: humility and faith. Humility and faith. She knew she wasn't worthy of the honor God offered her, yet she still believed God could use her if she trusted him. So I ask you the question this morning: do you believe that God can use you? I don't care how old you are, young or old, whatever you got going on in your life, if you know the Lord, do you believe that God can use you? You say, "Well, I'm way beyond that." No, no, you're not. No, you're not. God still can use you. Or do you think, maybe you think you're too small or too young or too poor or too weak to be used by him? Betty Reese wrote, kind of silly thing, but think about it for a moment. If you think you're too small to be effective, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. Something to think about, right? So God is searching for humble, fearless people to take part in his amazing plans. And God has amazing plans. He still has amazing plans. And for all these years that we've been on the earth, and so many others have been on the earth, and they've come and gone, God always has amazing plans, and he wants to use us in his plan. He's searching for people to be used in his plan. And Mary teaches us that no matter who you are, God can use you. Secondly, verses 28 through 33, he teaches us that no matter what problems you face as a believer, the Lord is with you. Let me read verses 28 through 33. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over his house, over the house of Jacob forever, ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end.'" So there are some things you just don't want to go through alone, folks. I think we all know there are some things. And I think Christmas is an example of that. I don't know of anybody who likes to spend Christmas all by themselves. I was talking to a man a few weeks ago, and I was a man I've gotten to know, not living right around here, but in the state of New Jersey. And I said to him, "What are you doing for Thanksgiving?" There was a bit of a pause, and he said, "Well, I'm going to be home." I said, "Well, are you going to be home with your son?" His son is 17 years old. I said, "Are you going to be home with your son?" He said, "No, my son's going with his mother." I said, "Well, goodness." He said, "I'm going to be home with my dog." I said, "Goodness, you come with us. You're going to come with us and go to Thanksgiving with us." We were going out. He said, no, I'm fine." And this guy is kind of used to things in his life, and as I've gotten to know him, but I really was pushing it. I was really pushing it. I said, "You don't have to come and be involved in any big family. You can just come, and we'll go out together, and you can go with us." And he turned me down. And he got through it, I'm sure. I know he did. But it's a tough time to be alone, huh? Thanksgiving, Christmas. So we don't like to go through things alone. And we don't like to go through trouble alone, especially. So if you get sick with nobody to comfort you, you'll probably be more miserable. When you lose your job or your spouse or your child, you need somebody with you to help you make it through. And the one person you need more than anybody else to face the problems in the world, the problems that you might have in your life, is certainly the Lord. And Mary teaches us that no matter what the problems are that you face, if you're one of God's children, God is with you. She wondered about that. She couldn't figure this all out, and I wouldn't have been able to figure it out either. But the angel says in verse 30, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But we wouldn't blame her if she was afraid, I don't think. And imagine the fear she must have experienced as a result of her unplanned pregnancy, which is what it was. First was the real, very real possibility that Joseph might divorce her. They were betrothed. They were engaged, which was as legally binding as being married and could only be dissolved by a bill of divorcement. So Joseph at first assumed that Mary had been unfaithful to him. I mean, really, what else would he have thought? She's pregnant, right? Joseph knew he wasn't the father. So he decided to divorce her quietly before he was told in a dream that Mary's baby was in fact conceived by the Holy Spirit. But at this point, Mary doesn't yet know how all of this will play out. But she's assured that God will be with her. Whatever Joseph does, God was going to be with her. Then there was the doubt, the fear of the possible rejection by her family. Huh? That's a biggie. Did Mary's family believe her story that the baby inside her was the Messiah? Huh? Or that she had conceived by the Holy Spirit without a man? Would you believe if your daughter told you that story? We're never told anything about Mary's parents' reaction to her pregnancy. No record of that. But I can imagine that they didn't believe a word of her story. But Mary believes God is with her, no matter how her parents might react. Parents react all kinds of different ways. I met a man many years ago who was from Hawaii. And he came to know the Lord. I mean, he got gloriously saved, came to know the Lord, and desired to serve the Lord and go into ministry eventually. And so he was here in the continental states, but he called back to his parents in Hawaii and told them that he invited Jesus Christ into his life and he was going to try to serve God the rest of his life. You know what his father said to him on the other end of the phone? He said, "You're not my son anymore. As far as I'm concerned, you're dead, and I will never have any more contact with you the rest of your life." Well, that's hard to take, huh? That would be hard to take. Maybe something like that happened here, I don't know. But she trusted the Lord. She knew what God had said, that he was with her. Then I'm sure she had a legitimate fear of certain ridicule by the community. Imagine the gossip circulating in that little town called Nazareth with only about 1,800 inhabitants at the time. And the people of Nazareth would have automatically assumed she had been guilty of adultery, a sin that was not looked on as lightly maybe as it is today. It's likely that Mary was shunned by those who had once been her friends. She's only 15 years old. But Mary believed God was with her, even if her friends abandoned her. And she even might have feared possible death by stoning. According to the law, this was the penalty for adultery. Actually, in Bible times, stoning was not used that often, but it was still a possibility for something like this. So Mary's fears were well grounded, were they not? You see, the message from the angel totally changed her life. She was getting ready to be married and live a normal life, but her life would never be the same again. How could she be calm and courageous as she faced all the problems her unplanned, unexplainable pregnancy might cause? She must have clung to Gabriel's words there in verse 28, "The Lord is with you, Mary. The Lord is with you." The Lord would be with her. He would help her. He would give her strength and courage to face anything. And there were a lot of fears there. But the same Lord makes that same promise to you and me. Did you know that? Psalm 118:6, the psalmist declared, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me, do to me." Hebrews 13:5, we know the verse, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And so Mary's story teaches us that no matter what problems we might face, the Lord is with us. Boy, that's important. I had to call upon that many times over the years. The Lord is with me. Mary faced a lot of scary things, but she knew that God would never abandon her. And one of the titles, as we know, given to Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. And one of the great themes of the Old Testament is that of God living with his people. Jesus is our Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. He left heaven's glory to come to be with us. Trobisch wrote, "Emmanuel, a name of Christ, means God with us. Human life was meant to be dramatic. We are meant to be God inhabited. Our religion is not organized around keeping God at his distance. It allows us to go see him when we want. And if I really want God to be with me, then my life will be extremely different from ordinary human life." So let's never forget that God is with us. I like that phrase that says, we are meant to be God inhabited. We're meant that. God meant that for us. Recorded and prophesied all the way in those passages in the Old Testament. And before the foundation of the world. Jesus came to make God's presence a conscious, living reality in our lives. Let me say that again. Jesus came to make God's presence a conscious, living reality in our lives. And whatever the problems you might be facing right now, whatever the worries and fears that might be harassing your heart, if you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, don't let the problems and the worries and fears discourage and defeat you. I know we got some issues going on today, again, in our world, of pastors taking their lives. More so maybe than ever before. Pastors leaving the ministry. Those in ministry leaving the ministry. I'm talking about full-time vocational ministry. And maybe we forget that Jesus is always with us, no matter what we may be experiencing. The difficulties of whatever that might be. No matter what the problems are, the Lord is with us. So bring those problems to him and trust him to work them out. And he will, just as surely as he worked them out for Mary. Sometimes we just need to go back to the basics, and we just need to read about the basics, and we just need to see what God has done and what God wants to do in our lives. So the story of Mary reminds us, no matter who you are, God can use you. No matter what problems you face, God is with you. And finally, her story teaches us that no matter what he promises, the Lord can do it. Do you believe that this morning? Verses 34 and 38 certainly bring this out through 38. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, was called barren, who was called barren. For with God," this is the wonderful verse, "for with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, folks, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The angel wasn't needed anymore, at that point at least, because Mary believed and she accepted. A little boy asked his mother where he came from. His mother gave him a tall tale about a beautiful white feathered stork. And the boy ran into the next room and he asked his grandmother where his mom had come from and received a variation of the stork story. How about you, Grandma? And he got the same answer again. Then he scurried outside to his playmate and said, you know, there hasn't been a normal birth in our family for 3 generations. Smart kid. The Bible records several instances of out of ordinary birth, huh? For example, God sent a son to Abraham and Sarah long after normal childbearing age. She was 90 and he was 100. God's miracle. In Judges 13, the angel of the Lord told Manoah and his childless wife that they would have a special son and they would name him Samson. Samuel, the first prophet, the last of the judges, was the answer to the faithful, persevering prayers of his godly mother, Hannah, who was well beyond childbearing age, and she bore the prophet Samuel. And John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, was in her 60s or 70s when she gave birth to the prophet John. But none of these special births were as amazing as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth was a virgin birth. In other words, Jesus was conceived in the womb of his mother Mary by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit without sexual relations with a human father. That's incredible. Now, that didn't sound any more or likely back then than it does today, folks. But look at Mary's reaction in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." She's 15 years old. And even though the angel's news was unbelievable, she believed it. I'm going to say that again. The angel's news to everybody would have been unbelievable, but she believed it. She didn't understand it, but she also didn't doubt it. She believed that no matter what God promised that God could do, no matter what, and even after all these centuries, Jesus' miraculous conception remains impossible to understand by human reason alone. God chose not to explain the details of it to us, but the real issue is not whether a virgin can conceive, but whether anything is impossible for God. Anything. But why was Jesus virgin born to begin with? Only through the virgin birth was it possible for God to dwell with mankind as a human being himself and for him to pay the penalty for our sin. The virgin birth made possible the uniting of full deity and full humanity in one person, the God-man, if you will. A few years back, the well-known talk show host Larry King was once asked, if you could select any one person across all history to interview, who would it be? Mr. King answered that he would like to interview Jesus Christ. The questioner followed with, what would you like to ask him? King replied, I'd like to ask him if he was indeed virgin born. The answer to that question, he said, would define history for me. Well, I don't have to ask Jesus. Jesus already said, God already said, I was virgin born. God said my son was virgin born, that the baby was virgin born, the virgin birth of Christ. And yet, Larry was right. The virgin birth of Christ is tied both to who he is and what he came to do. And the commentator Malcolm Muggeridge out of Great Britain put it, as man alone, Jesus could not have saved us. As God alone, he would not. Incarnate, he could and did. God became a man. So Mary knew that a virgin birth is impossible in the natural course of events. But she also believed that nothing is impossible with God. It became supernatural. And whatever God promises, he delivers. No matter what he promises, God will do it. Whatever that might be in yours, in my life. Every promise in the Bible, if you think about it, has two parts. The first is a condition for you to obey, and the second is the promise of what God will do in response to your obedience. It's really how it works, pretty simple. Christianity, the biblical principles are very simple, but in other words, there's your part and there's God's part. And be assured that God always follows through with his part, always. His promises are always sure. So when Gabriel told Mary what was going on, her answer was obedience. Let it be according to your word. That's obedience. Let it be, Lord, according to your word. What promises of God might you be tempted to doubt? What promises of God might you be tempted to doubt? Maybe it's Jesus' salvation promise. Many people doubt that. John 11:26 says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's what it says. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And people have a hard time believing that. Paul's statement in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? God's promise about tithing, as an example in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now with, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be enough room to receive it. In other words, and that's not talking about that health and wealth philosophy, it's stuff that just God blesses when we give. God brings it back to us in so many different ways. Or 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do we believe that? Do you read promises like these and say, yeah, right, like that's going to happen? Huh? That's not faith. But those promises are made by God, and the Bible teaches us that if you meet the conditions of these promises, God will fulfill his part of the bargain when he gives us a promise. So whatever the promise is, it doesn't matter how impossible it may seem, because there's nothing, absolutely nothing impossible with God. And whatever he promises, he always does without fail. I may break my promises to you, you may break your promises to me, but God will never break his promises. So what do you have to do? What we have to do is what Mary did. Believe God's word. Say to him, let it be to me according to your word, O Lord. Whatever you say, Lord, I will do it because I believe it. Someone has said, little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I think that's a good thought. I think that's exactly how it worked for Mary and how it works for you and me if you believe and obey. So, we really don't know what Jesus learned from his mother. We don't know the impact of her life on his, and he was in his human form, or how much of who he grew up to be was a reflection of the love and character of his mother. But God has left the record of what this young mother named Mary can teach you and me. Again, review. No matter who you are, God can use you. Do you believe that this morning? No matter what problems you face, if you belong to the Lord, he will be with you. Do you believe that this morning? No matter what he has promised, the Lord can do it. Do you believe that this morning? As we are in this Christmas season, we certainly ought to believe it. So may God burn these truths in our hearts now at this, all the time, but as we reflect on these special things at this time of the year, the Lord is with us. Lord, I thank you that no matter what, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with you. Lord, you can do anything. I've seen the things you've done in my life. Just saving me is a miracle in itself. And it was possible because I believed and you saved me. And Lord, each one of us can think about miracles and things in our lives and things that seem to be impossible according to your will that you brought about. So Lord, our obligation is to believe you and trust in you and follow your will for our lives, whatever that might mean, whatever that might be, and give it over to you. Whether we'll even have breath the rest of this day or tomorrow, we're in your hands. And Lord, we need to follow you no matter what. We need to believe in you no matter what. Lord, I thank you for your incredible love, because it was love that sent your son to this earth. It was love that sent your son to die on the cross, love for each one of us. It was love that's going to bring him back again. It's love that ushers us into your heaven. Lord, thank you for your incredible love and your grace and mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen.